The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind. God's kind of love is not easily provoked. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. We've been talking all during this week about church problems. And today I want to talk a little bit about something which I think would solve a whole lot of church problems. And that is a principle which Jesus articulated in Matthew 16:25. He said, "The man who wants to save his life will lose it. But the man who loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, the context of these words were Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. And Peter objected when Jesus told him that he was going up there and he was going to suffer many things at the hands of the high priests and he was going to be killed. And Peter raised exactly the same objection that you and I would have raised. I can just imagine him grabbing the Lord by the arm and saying, "No, Lord, no way can that happen to you." He said in one translation, "God forbid that anything like that should ever happen to you." And Jesus turns to this man, Peter, whom he has just called the rock, and said, "On this rock will I build my church." He turns to this man and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God thinks, but as men think." Well, we'd have to confess that that's exactly the way we think too, isn't it? I'm going to go up there and suffer at the hands of the high priest and I will be killed. And we would have said, "No, Lord, please, don't go." He says, "You're thinking as men think. Get behind me, Satan." And then he says, "The man who wants to save his life will lose it, but the man who loses his life for my sake will find it." And that is one of the spiritual paradoxes, one of those apparently contradictory statements. But it is a deep and pervasive principle of the spiritual life. Out of death comes life. It is by letting go of ourselves, relinquishing our concern with our self-image and with our self-fulfillment and our self-realization and our selfish little pleasures and preferences. It is by a total opening of our hands to the Lord and saying, "Here, Lord, here I am, all of me for you forever. Take me and do anything you want with me, anything at all, at any price." What did Jesus mean, saving yourself? The man who wants to save his life will lose it. For every spiritual principle in the Bible, there's a biblical story which illustrates it. Study those stories. It helps us to see the application in our own lives. Now, there are many stories that would illustrate this principle that Jesus has spoken to Peter, but let me read one of them, one of these stories. It's in Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 53. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There, he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. Clearly, Peter had not got the message that Jesus had given on the way to Jerusalem. He followed at a distance. The closer we keep to Jesus, the more faithfully we obey him, the more the company dwindles. Have you found that out? The further you walk along the way of the cross, the more the crowd thins out. The less people will understand you. The less popular your views will be. The less you will find yourself able to conform to what everybody else seems to be doing. Peter was very prudent. He was cautious, wary, discreet, considering expediency rather than being courageous and reckless to stay with Jesus. He had selfish motives. He followed at a distance, it says, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And what did he do there? When Jesus was captured, here he was, sitting with the guards, warming himself by the fire. That's reasonable, isn't it? Reasonable if our object is self-protection. He gave himself the chance to calculate the risks. He wasn't too religious. He blended in with the guards. It was a safe place for him to be. And he made himself comfortable by the fire. To lose myself is a reckless abandonment without reservation. And it springs from trust. I know whom I have believed and am absolutely sure that he is able to keep what I have committed to him. We don't always know why or what or how God is going to bring about his will in our lives. We don't need to know the why and the what and the how. We only need to know whom. I know whom I have believed. Many years ago, I was sitting in a little thatched roof hut in the jungle of eastern Ecuador with a man named Giquita. He was an Alca Indian. He was sitting there on the floor of my hut holding a little plastic microphone of a small tape recorder. I had asked him to tell me the story of the meeting with five white men several years before. And so Giquita, with great enthusiasm and gestures and onomatopoetic words describing the sounds of things as they were going on, described exactly what happened on the afternoon of January the 8th, 1956, on the Curaray River in eastern Ecuador. He said, "We went to the edge of the river with our spears, and we hid in the jungle watching the five men on the beach, those five white men." And he said, "Finally, I said to my friends, I brought my spear, I'm going to use it. I jumped out of the forest, waded into the river, sank the spear into the back of one of those white men, and then one of the other white men came and tackled me. And then my buddies came out with their spears, and we finished them off." He said it did take us a long time, but we finally finished them off. When he had finished telling me all the story, and it took him an hour with very vivid descriptions, he turned to the picture of my husband, Jim, that was sitting on a stack of kerosene boxes that I used for a bookcase, and he said, "So that's Bitungé," which means your husband. "So that's your husband, is it?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "What's his name?" I said, "Jim." And Giquita tried to say Jim, but he couldn't say that. There are no J's in the Alca language. "Well," he said, kind of with a chuckle, "if we'd known your husband, Jim, the way we know you, he'd be sitting here with us this afternoon, but we didn't know. We thought he was a cannibal. We thought he was coming to eat us." And so you can imagine the irony of my having gotten to know Giquita and the other four men who had speared my husband, Jim Elliott, and four other missionaries. The irony that now Giquita was my friend. All five of the killers were my friends. Dewey, Minkayi, Nimonga. I could tell you all their names. Minkayi's blowgun stands in my house today. He became a good friend of mine. He said, "Here, your people are my people. This blowgun belongs to you now. We love you." Of course, when those five men died, we didn't know why. We didn't know why the Alcas had killed them. We assumed that they were hostile, perhaps, or perhaps merely out of fear. That was my guess, and it turned out to be correct. But when the world asked the question, why did those men go in there? The answer was very simple. Simple to us, incomprehensible to the world. This principle: except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. or the words that I gave you at the beginning of this program, Matthew 16:25, the man who wants to save his life will lose it, but the man who loses his life for my sake will find it. Those five men were prepared to risk their lives for Christ's sake. They knew the reputation of those dangerous Indians, who are now called Waurani. They knew that they might not come back. Every possible precaution was taken. Lots of prayer went up. But they took the risk, and they were all killed. But you know, today, there are hundreds, probably many thousands of people whose lives have been transformed through the testimony of those men. A simple scriptural principle. I don't imagine today that God is going to give to you and me, ordinary Christians, church members, anything very heroic to do. Probably we will not be given the privilege of bleeding to death on the point of a savage spear. But we are given the privilege every day to lay down our lives for each other, to die to ourselves. And I have a strong hunch that church problems would melt into nothing if every member of the church would live by this principle. Be willing to lose our lives in whatever small way God allows us to do so, for His sake and for the sake of the rest of the church.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. We can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.